may be seated in the name of the Lord. Then why are you here? Then why are you here? If I can draw your attention to verse 28, where it says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Be fruitful and multiply, increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Have you ever used a product for a purpose other than the intention of the creator of that product? Have you ever done that? Have you ever needed a ladder and instead of using a ladder, ever been in a situation where you need to change a light bulb or there's something like that you need to do, and so you don't even have a ladder, but so instead of using a ladder, you decide you're going to try to climb up on a stool, and it's rickety, and because the purpose of the stool is to sit on it. But you're going to try to stand on it. I'm not going to do it because I don't want to be on YouTube. Help us, Holy Ghost. But where there's just times in which there's a purpose of the creator for this thing. But there's all kinds of stuff like that. I mean, hangers. I mean, sure, you can hang your clothes on this. But some of us remember that this thing does all kinds of stuff. Well, somebody got to talk to me. I've used this to rig something on my car. I've scratched my back with this. This was an antenna. Oh, I wish I had. This was an antenna. That there are all kinds of. This used to be used to open up your car door if you locked your keys inside. Come on, old people. Because your knob, the lock had a little thing on the top where you could stick and hook. This had all kinds of purposes besides just being a hanger. God help us. We famous for this. Remember this? This is stockings. Lady, y'all remember stockings? There was a time when me and my wife had to drive around looking for stockings for me. No, I'm just kidding. Stockings for her. She's trying to find stockings, and she needed nude, or she needed black, or she needed brown, or she needed whatever. But if you were a black man in the 80s, in the 90s, oh, my Lord, you knew how to take this thing and tie this thing up here top, and you knew how to cut this thing. This thing turned into a wave cap. I know I'm not the only one trying to get waves. This was a wave cap. I'm not even going to put it on. The Q-tip. You know, I've been reading articles about how you're not supposed to put a Q-tip in your ear. I don't know about you. I'm sure I'm not the only one. There is just something about spinning this thing. Good God, help us, Holy Ghost. I do it when my ears aren't even dirty. I do it just for, I'm like, ooh. I actually wet it with my mouth. I'm not going to do it. I wet it with my, and I just, woo. I mean, there's something about that. And when I was reading the article that was saying that you're not supposed to put this in your ear, then I thought, then what? What is the purpose of the Q-tip if not to bless my ear? I would love to meet with the creator and the designer of the Q-tip, because what are you supposed to do with it? What are you supposed to do? Your nose, your teeth, your what? It's for medical stuff. Well, they sure are selling a lot of them if it's just for doctors. My point is what is the purpose of the thing? And when I think about that, it makes me say, yeah, God, what is the original intent of the Q-tip? What is the original intent of my life? Then why are you here? If you're not here to be spun in an ear, then why are you here? Then why am I really here? If I'm going to understand what is the intent of my life, I got to go back to the person that designed it. I can't just go according to me and what I think. I've got to go back to the person that originally created mankind and ask him, okay, God, what was your intent for us? What did you make us for? Certainly, if we are being used for a purpose other than what is best, then God, can you let us know what was the original intention of the Creator? That's why I had us look at Genesis chapter 1, because when I look at Genesis chapter 1, I see the original intent of God for mankind. I see God created the heavens and the earth. This is why the devil is a liar, and I refuse to hold on or believe whatever y'all young folk are being taught, evolution and come from monkeys and the devil is a liar. Part of the reason why I refuse to believe that is because I want to believe that I was designed. I want to believe that there was a purpose. Otherwise, everything is a great big cosmic accident. And it takes faith to believe that you came from monkeys. No one's ever seen it happen. Sure, they're telling you there's scientific evidence, but it still takes faith. Evolution is a theory. Even though they're saying, yeah, it's basically been proved, it's still a theory that still takes faith. What's going on with the monkeys now? And so what I'm saying is that it is an original, it's a theory that takes faith. And so since they both take faith, I'd rather exercise my faith in something that will help me to know that I'm not here accidentally. I want to believe that my parents decided to have me, but God decided to send me. My God, help me, Holy Ghost. And for nothing else, for me to have purpose to my life. Makes me say, all right, Lord, what is the original intent? And when I look at Genesis chapter 1, I see the original intent of God. Matter of fact, I see eight of them. I was trying to only see seven, but I saw eight original intentions of God for mankind. Let me give you these eight really quickly. I'm going to pray for you and let you go, but let me give you these eight, and I'm going to focus on one of them at the end for just a minute, but let me give you the eight. The first one that I see in Genesis chapter 1, and once God creates the heavens and the earth, then once he starts to make mankind, I start to see these original intentions of God. What is his original intention for us in mankind? And when it comes to creation, I see eight of them. The first one, number one, you see in verse 26, because it says, then God said, let's make mankind in our image, in our own likeness. In verse 27, it says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So I think the original, number one, the first intention of God for mankind is for us to be like him. He said, let's make mankind, and let's make mankind like us. So the number one original intent of God for us is for us to be like him, for us to look at him and desire to be like him. He loves, we got to love. He forgives, we got to forgive. He causes his rain to fall on the just and the unjust. So there's a certain amount of consistency with God. There's a faithfulness with God. His faithfulness ought to inspire you to be faithful. That God said, yeah, well, I made you to be like me. Whenever you see someone and they have a child and you say, oh, my God, the baby looks just like you. Of course the baby should look like you because God says, right, I want you. All God is doing is reinforcing this idea that we're supposed to be created in his image. Then what he did is he said, I'm going to make you so sure of it that I'm going to let you create babies in your image. They're going to have your face, and they're going to have your likeness, and they're going to look like you, and they're going to act like you. They're going to do stuff that you do. They're going to get on your nerves because they're going to remind you who you were. And you're going to look at them and be mad, but you're really mad at yourself because they are a product of you, your DNA, and the environment in which you raised them. Because God is saying, right, this is proof that I want you to be made in my image. So the number one intention of God is for me to be like him. Good God, that is a great challenge to be like him. It's the highest challenge, to be like him. Because I can be saved and still not necessarily be like him. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. I can say, well, I'm saved, but I ain't the Lord. Jesus died for you. I ain't dying for you. So to be like him is that high. For the Lord to say, yeah, I'm trying to duplicate myself in the earth, in mankind. So that's the first one. You can just look at the verses and you'll see them. The second one you see in verse 28 because it says God blessed them. So the original intent of God for mankind is to be blessed. God created Adam and Eve and said, I bless you. God did not create us for everything in our life to be a curse. God created us to be blessed. God created us to have joy. He created us to be able to be happy. He created us to smile. He created us to enjoy this thing called life. He created us and gave us life for life to be a blessing. God creates Adam and Eve. This is before anything else happens. He says, yep, I've made you in my likeness, and I'm going to bless you. So I recognize that the original intent of God is blessing. I don't have to fight real hard to get God to bless me because it is the original intent of God for me to be blessed. I have to beg God to bless me and pray for him to bless me and scream for him to bless me and bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. I don't have to beg God to bless me. His original intention was to bless me. Created me to be like him and to be blessed. So blessing is an original intention of God. Number three, the third one, it's all there in verse 28 because it says God blessed them and said to them. So the third original intention of God is for men and women to be able to communicate with him. God created Adam and Eve. This is not Pastor Adam and First Lady Eve. This is Adam and Eve. God created them for him to be able to walk with them and talk with them and communicate with him and to have a relationship with him. It is the original intention of God. Anybody that wants to make it seem like hearing a word from God or hearing the word of the Lord or finding the purpose of God and the plan of God for your life is difficult doesn't understand the original intention of God. You spend enough time in his presence, God will talk to you. You get around him enough for anybody in here that's like, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. It's very easy. You're not spending any time with him. You start spending some time with him. You start praying. You start getting in your word. You start coming to a prayer meeting. You get around the things of God. The Lord will start to speak to you on your inside because God is a talker. If you're doing all the talking, you don't really have that much of a relationship with God. If you are talking all the time, the Lord will interrupt you and say, will you shut up for a minute so I can get a word in? And then the Lord will speak to you. And if you're not hearing him, it's not because you ain't me. It's not because you ain't spiritual. It's not because you ain't. No, no. It's because you're not spending enough time with him. Get quiet. Take your earbuds out your ears for a second. Turn your phone off. Turn your music off. Turn off Netflix for five. Can God get 5 minutes? Can he get 10 minutes of quiet? The Lord don't ever speak to me. Yeah, but when does the quiet for him to ever speak to you? How can he talk to you when you're constantly being bombarded with information and entertainment? You're being entertained 24 hours a day. How can God get your attention when every 2 seconds you're looking at your phone? Help us, Holy Ghost. If you're not hearing, people, it's amazing how folk come to me and they're just, Pastor Andy, can you just speak to me because I'm just not hearing God's voice. And I don't even want to say. I love the fact that people think I can pray for them and then all of a sudden they hear God's voice. I love the faith of it. But I don't even want to ask them, how much do you pray though? You're not hearing God's voice? How often do you pray? See how quiet it got? How often? I grew up in a church where they were trying to make you pray. You had all night of prayer. I wish I had a witness in the book. You have all night of prayer. They lock you in. We had shut-ins. Where is a witness? They called a solemn assembly and had a shut-in because they wanted to make you hear from God. God created us for us to be able to talk to him and communicate with him. And so the third purpose is for God, for men and women to be able to communicate with him. The fourth one is God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. So the fourth purpose of God is for men and women to be fruitful. For men and women to be fruitful and fill the earth and increase in number and fill the earth and subdue it. That's my main point. But let me give you the other four real quick, and I'm going to get back to number four. And what's the fifth one? Then in verse 29 says, then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that is fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food. So the fifth purpose and intention of God is for men and women to have more than enough. God creates Adam and Eve and says, see all these trees? They're all yours for food. See all of this stuff? It's all yours for food. And so to be starving, to be hungry, to be barely making it, to barely have enough to make it, to barely have enough abundance is the original plan of God. The original plan of God is to create man and to create Adam and Eve, create mankind, and put them in a world in which there is more than enough fruit for everybody. Not, he didn't create them and put them in a world in which they're climbing up on the rough side. That's not the world he put them in. He put them in a world where they were in a garden that was beautiful and had more than enough. And so I don't even have to wonder about whether or not God wants me to have more than enough. I can look at the original intention of God and I can say, oh, I know you're Jireh. You're more than enough because you created in the original creation, in the original intention. You took them and said, see all of this? This is all of this. Everything you see out here is yours for food. You can eat as much of this as you want. For men and women to have more than enough. Number six, the sixth original intention of God was for men and women to have work and purpose. Because in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, it says the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And so God didn't create Adam just to sit around chilling. He created him to actually work in the garden and tend the garden and take care of the garden. He created them with a purpose. I often say, gentlemen, you ain't ready for an Eve until you got your work and purpose down. Don't even pray for an Eve if you don't know what you're going to do, because your Eve is going to enhance the work and the purpose that you have on this life. Hey, you want to be able to enhance each other's work and purpose. Doesn't make any sense for you to marry a doctor and can't deal with a doctor's hours, male or female. Bruh, it don't make no sense for you to marry a surgeon and you're not ready for her surgeon hours. Don't make any sense for you to marry a soldier and be afraid when he goes to war. Doesn't make any sense for you to marry a cop and then be scared every time they walk out the door. Cops need cop spouses. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. Firefighters need firefighter spouses that make the sign of the cross and say, may God protect you and watch over you, and ain't calling you every 5 seconds to see if you're okay, because that work and that purpose is what you know you're here for. And the sooner you know your purpose, the sooner you're able to actually decide, all right, who's this spouse that I'm supposed to have? Because it doesn't make any sense for me to be a pastor and not have a pastor's wife. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. Don't make no sense. Makes no sense whatsoever for me to be a man of God called to do this and have somebody in my life that don't trust nobody. And so and there's a whole lot of turmoil that happens because folk don't know what their purpose is, and they get all involved before they understand their purpose. The seventh original intention of God. Good God, I'm running out of time, but this is good. The seventh original intention of God, and this is a tough one, but it's for men and women to have choice. Verse 16 says, the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will certainly die. You can make an argument. What's the point of putting this tree here? They can eat every other tree. They can eat from every tree in the garden. Why give them, why say to them, now you can eat from any tree in here, but see that tree? Don't touch that tree. That tree's mine. Why would God do that? Especially considering the fact that that is what happened and we're all launched into sin over this disobedience. You can make an argument that sin, to some extent, is God's fault. And I'm not saying it's God's fault because God didn't make a sin. But the truth of the matter is that Adam and Eve had a choice to make. And the reason why they had a choice to make is because God is love. And there is no love if there's no choice. The Lord said, I'm going to put something there, and I want you to choose me over that. And in that way, you will show me that you love me. It ain't love if there's no choices. You find yourself on a stranded island with some dude, you don't know if he loves you or not. It's just you and him. You find yourself on a deserted island with a woman, she says, I love you. You don't know if she loves you. You're the only thing left. Part of the way that I know I love LaShawn is that I still see other people with my eyes. My eyes still work. Gentlemen, wouldn't it be amazing? Dudes, wouldn't it be amazing if the minute you got married, you could only see, you couldn't see nobody else, just her, your eyes, and you'd be bumping into people, but it don't work that way. You see other people and you still choose her. You see other people and you still choose him. That choice is the love. There's no love if there's no choice. So we have to realize that the original intention of God is not for him to make all your choices. The original intention of God is for him not to make every decision and everything in your life. You're trying to hear from him, but the word says that you ought to be able to judge and test and approve what God's will is. And if you're on the planet long enough and you're mature, you're going to have some choices to make. You're not very saved if you can't be saved around people who ain't saved. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. Only way you can be saved is at a Christian school. You're not that saved. That's when you know you're saved. When you can be around it and not puff it. If all of a sudden something happened cosmically in the universe and all the chocolate cake was gone, and then you stood up and said, I give up chocolate cake. You ain't said nothing. You give up chocolate cake when you with me and you don't eat it. And I have some. And you love chocolate cake, good God. And you love chocolate cake. And just the idea of chocolate cake make you feel the anointing of God. And you want to lick the icing off my plate. And you love chocolate cake. And I say, would you like some? And you say, no, I'm not eating chocolate cake right now. Now that's a choice. And I'm tired of Christians who want to blame God for everything. Well, God gave me him, and God gave me out. God told me to marry him, and God told me to go there, and God told me that. The Lord woke me up and told me, eat a bowl of Honey Nut Cheerios. Listen, when God speaks to you, it's going to be big. It's not going to be Honey Nut Cheerios. The Lord will let you choose. Do you want Honey Nut Cheerios or plain Cheerios or Frosted Flakes? Anyway, my point is that choice is an original intention of God. And the challenge of choice is that choice introduces a variable in the world that we live in, and that's chaos. There's a certain amount of chaos because there's a certain amount of unpredictability because there's a certain amount of choice. You can pray for another person, but you can't pray for another person for the Lord to take their choice from them. Now, you can speak to God for God to influence people and for God to speak to the hearts and speak to the minds, and you certainly can do that, but you got to be careful praying for God to take somebody else's choice away. I claim him. I done seen him. Aha! I claim him in the name of Jesus. Sick him, Holy Ghost. What, are you trying to get the Holy Ghost to sick him? To make him be with you? Get her, God, get her. Get her, God, get her. I claim her. I claim her. Wait. You're asking God to override someone else's free choice, someone else's free will. The truth of the matter is that the original intention of God was for us to have choices. There's no place in the Bible anywhere where God tells anybody to marry anyone. Nowhere. nowhere. I dare anybody to find it in the Bible. Nowhere does God ever tell anybody to marry anyone. Hosea is the closest that you'll get. And with Hosea, he said, take to yourself an adulterous woman. And Hosea's situation is a whole nother thing. That is the exception, not the rule. Because ain't God telling nobody else to marry no adulteress. Let me move on. What I'm saying to you is that you're going to have to make a choice. Choices you're going to have to make. And some choices you make are going to be good, and some choices you're going to make are going to be bad. And that's why you're pressing in and trying to find the voice of God and trying to hear the presence of God and trying to say, Lord, what is your will? But even in the will of God, you're going to have some decisions that you're going to have to make. And you're going to have to get wisdom, and you're going to have to get maturity, and you're going to have to get some counselors, and you're going to have to ask some folk that are older than you, and you're going to have to sit down with somebody 70 and find somebody with some gray hair and stop thinking that you just know everything you're supposed to do because God spoke to me in the middle of the night in a dream. You don't even know if that dream was him. That dream might have been pizza. Good God. That dream might have, you don't know what that, you don't know. You need help with interpretation. You need help. We're just entirely too confident and cocky these days in what God told me. I'm careful about co-signing God's name to stuff. I still have choices to make, and I've co-signed God's name to stuff that didn't work. Oh, I wish I had a witness. And had to go back later and apologize. My bad. And then the eighth intention of God is in verse 18. It says, then God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. So the eighth original intention of God is for men and women to have connection. God did not create you to be all by yourself. God did not create you to be alone. Anyone who says, yep, God told me, don't talk to nobody, don't have no friends, don't be around nobody, just me and him, just me and Jesus in the closet. No, that's not true. The Lord did not create you to be all by yourself. You spend too much time by yourself, you'll lose your mind. If you are not around people, if you do not interact with people, if you don't get face to face with somebody, if you don't get out your house and go somewhere in which you get around somebody else and touch someone else, you will lose your mind. Science shows it. There was a time when they were, especially in France, they were primarily incarcerating prisoners in solitary, because solitary confinement will make you lose your mind. You can't be all by yourself. After service, you need to go eat with a biscuit with somebody. You need to go spend some time with, what you getting ready to, what you doing after this? Me and Jesus, it's the Lord's day. I'm going up in my upper room with me and God. People like that get weird. I don't know if you've ever been around these super spiritual people talk too close to you. Where you going? Heaven, brother. I'm going. Me and God. Just me and God. Can't even say God. Me and God. In the upper room. Me and God. What'd you do last night? Me and God. Just me and God. You and who? God. Me and God. If you too much you and God, gonna make you crazy. At some point, you better get away from God, and you better go sit down with a brother or sister. You better go to Bojangles and get a piece of chicken. You better go talk to somebody, and you need to tell them what God said to you, because they may tell you that ain't God. That's the devil. You don't know. You are built for communication with a person. God looks at Adam and says, something is missing from this dude. I called it good, but something is missing. Something is missing. Shut it down. That's what God said. God came in and said, shut it down. Something ain't right. Something's missing. Put that dude to sleep. And he went and created and ramped the creation machine back up and made Eve. Hallelujah. When Eve came out, Adam said, whoa, man. My Lord and my God, look what the Lord has done. What I'm saying is that it's not good for you to be by yourself. Even if you don't have a spouse, you ought to have a friend. Matter of fact, I would contend that without a friend, you're going to drive your spouse crazy. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. Don't pray for a spouse and don't have a friend, because there's things that you'll do with your friend that you don't do with your spouse. My wife's my best friend, but she's one of my best friends. I have other best friends because it's there needs to be connection. There's family is supposed to be a blessing. Family's not supposed to be something you survived. Family not supposed to be a curse word. Well, I got to go down there with my family. Family is supposed to be something that adds to you. God says, yeah, it's not good for you to be alone. You didn't hatch from an egg all by yourself. You were raised in a community, in a connection with other people. Okay, let me get to my fourth point, the fourth one, which is why I'm only going to be able to touch on it for just a second, but it's good anyhow. The Lord is speaking to us. And I just want to take a minute to focus on number four, and that is you're here to be fruitful. The original intention of God is for you to be fruitful. The original intention of God is for you to be fruitful and multiply, and it's an excellent question, and that is, what are you filling the earth with? Right now, what are you filling the earth with? Not just what are you getting. What are you filling the earth with? What are you filling your family with? What are you filling your culture with? What are you filling your community with? What are you filling the ministry with? Not just what do we do for you. What do you bring? Then why are you here? What are you filling the earth with? 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10 says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread to the eater will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched. You'll be enriched if you're a sower. God provides seed to sowers. So God is looking to provide for people that are looking to be fruitful and multiply. And fill the earth with something. Not just take, but fill it. That you're leaving something behind you that is a reflection of the fact that you were here. I was in a Walmart just walking through the aisles, and I bumped into a guy that I knew, and a younger guy. He was probably in his early 30s, and he used to go to the church. He doesn't go here anymore, but it doesn't matter because he's still in church, and that's fine. But, I bumped into him, and I'm like, hey, we're talking. I'm like, how you doing? He's like, I'm good, man. And we're just kind of catching up, and then a little girl came walking around the corner. She looked like she was about 5, and I was like, who's this? He said, it's my daughter, cutest little girl in the world. She came around the corner. And I said, oh, man, that's great. And, this is Pastor Andy, and I met her. And I said, so, man, you married? You still married? Because, when I bump into people, I'm like, are you still married? You got to look at their ring. You got to look at their hands. I said, are you still? He said, yeah. He said, yeah, she's here. She's over in the towels or whatever. It's Walmart. I said, oh, great. He said, all right. I said, yeah. I said, wow, your daughter's beautiful. I said, now, is this your only one? He said, yeah. He said, yeah. I said, yeah. He said, yeah, this is my only child. And I said, wow. He said, yeah, man. He said, my wife's trying to get me to, he said, my wife wants to have more children, but eh. I said, but eh? What's eh? What do you mean, eh? He said, you know. I said, no, I don't know. Know what? At that moment, his wife came walking around the corner. Cute. Light skin, but cute. Black girl. Cute yellow girl come walk around the corner. It's chocolate for me, but I'm just saying, yellow girl came walk around the corner. Cute girl. She looked good. She didn't look the same, but don't nobody look the same. I said, don't nobody look the same. Everybody in here got a stretch mark somewhere. She looked good to me. Now, I'm 50, but she looked good to me. She didn't look exactly like she looked when he first married her, but she still looked good. Nobody's going to stay exactly the same. So when she walked away, I said, he said, yeah, man, I'm just trying to get back. I said, there is no getting back. You can only go forward. And I asked him a question. I said, didn't you marry her to produce with her? Did you only marry her for consumption, or did you marry her for production? Then why are you here? You only married her for the sexual experience you can have for your own personal consumption. You didn't marry her to fill the earth with something. So you have one child and you're You have forgotten why you're here. You are a Q-tip that we're trying to figure out what to use you for. The Lord didn't give you that seed shooter for you to just look at a screen and make yourself happy. Oh, I'm kind of talking to my brothers for just a second. The Lord gave you the seed machine because he said, I want you to fill the earth with something. And we are letting every heathen fill the earth but us. Especially black people. I know everybody in here ain't black. Especially black people. The most ghetto heathenish people are the ones having 8 and 9 kids. Filling the earth with heathen seed. Am I telling the truth or not? I said, am I telling the truth or not? I said, am I telling the truth or not? Meanwhile, here I am having a conversation with a young man who's educated, got a job, wife's a lawyer, educated with a job, with one child. Because, eh. I said, son, listen, you are here to produce, not just consume. Tell somebody you're here to produce. Oh, help us. Tell somebody else, you're here to produce. You're here to produce. You're not here just to get. You're here to give. You're not here just to be like, oh, this is what I get. No, you're here to say, okay, what am I going to bring in the earth? And what do I bring to this company? And what do I bring to this church? And what do I bring to my community? And what do I bring to my world? And what am I bringing? What am I bringing? You worried about black people? What are you bringing? You worried about what people? White people? What are you bringing? You worried about the country? What are you bringing? You worried about Trump? What are you bringing? I need a witness in the building. For black people, it's Black History Month. You scared Trump gonna win the election? I'd be scared too, because I'd be surprised if he don't win it. But I hope you are scared. I'm glad you're scared. Good. Good, be scared. Maybe we'll read. Maybe we'll graduate from school. Good God, help us. Maybe we'll stop twerking on everybody. Maybe we will. Maybe we'll start thinking about the way in which we're depicted. Maybe we will decide, I don't want that to be how people see black men or black women. I'm certainly not going to feed into that. Maybe I don't want white men to be viewed this way, so I'm going to bring something different. I can sit around and complain about the consumption, or I can be a producer. Well, then why are you here? Why are you here? Are you only here just because of what you can get? Or are you here because of what you bring? God will provide more than enough seed if you are determined to be a sower. You will have more than enough of joy if you're given joy. If you decide your joy and your peace is not going to be something just for you, but that every opportunity you have, you will tell somebody, you got to believe. You will tell somebody, you got to trust. You got to tell somebody, it's going to be better. You're going to tell somebody your testimony. I'm a living witness. God can make a way that you will always have enough seed if you're a sower. But if all you are is an eater, you'll only have bread. And we are more consumed and more interested in bread than we are in seed. And the devil is a liar. A part of what we have to understand is that we are here to produce. You are here to sow. You are here to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. The Triangle area, North Carolina, America, the world, will be as saved as the amount of saved people in it. Praying for the Holy Ghost to come? You don't have to pray for the Holy Ghost to come. Holy Ghost is in us. I need a witness in the building. We sit around praying for God to do something he's already done. He's already given the Holy Ghost. He's already baptized us in it. We don't want the Raleigh-Durham area to be demonic. Then we need more saved people. We want North Carolina to be full of the devil, then we need more saved people. We don't want America to be full of the devil, then we need more saved people. We don't want the world to be full of the devil, then we need more saved people. We have to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. We have turned God into just a bread provider. We just want our bread. We just want our blessing. We just want our miracle. We just want God to give me a job. I just want God to give me a job. I just want God to make a way for me. I just want him to open up a door for me and turn it late in the midnight hour. God is showing up with bread. We have made him totally a bread giver when really he's a seed giver. He said, if you are willing to share, I'll give you I will supply. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. It's not just talking about money. It's talking about smiles. It's talking about happiness. It's talking about joy. Have you ever been so happy that you wanted to take people out? People have good news and go into a bar and buy everybody a drink. I'm not saying that's what you should do. I'm just saying that if you have something good happen to you, then other people ought to get blessed as a result of it. The Lord said, yeah, I'll bless you so much because if you are going to be a sower, I'll always give you seed so that you can be rich on every occasion because you are not here just to consume. You are here to produce. Put your hands together if you heard a word from the Lord in here this morning. Come on, jump on your feet. Let's go. Reach out, grab somebody's hand. Let's go. I'm over time. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for our time together. Thank you, Lord God, for your word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Thank you for the entrance of your word that sheds light. And as we walk in the light, as you're in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, your son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank you for living so big in us in this 9 o'clock service. Thank you, Lord God, for breaking the yoke over us. Thank you for making a way where there seems to be no way. Have your way in us. Multiply us supernaturally to the upbuilding of your kingdom. Thank you for providing seed to the sower and bread for just the eaters. God, we do have to eat, but God, we want to be sowers. We don't want to just be eaters. We don't want to just be consumers. We want to be producers. We don't want to just go to a good church. We want to share our faith with others. We don't want to just have faith. We want to share our faith. We don't want to just take. We want to volunteer. We want to give. We want to be used by you. Watch over us. Protect us. Bring us back on Wednesday night. Lord God, we're dropping foundational material for these next 7-8 weeks. Bring us back next Sunday, Lord God, as we talk more about your will for us. Lead us and guide us into all truth. Order our steps. Have your way in us. God, as we always pray, bless your people. Make your face shine upon your people. Be gracious to your people and give us peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.